This is the Valley Outdoors, and we are exceptionally happy to have you guys with us this week. I'm Eric, next to me, Don, and across from me, the one and only Ava, who controls everything that we do, Don.
Everything.
On air.
On air.
Or that could put us off air.
That's right.
She has the control. And she loves selling it that, too. It's always a big thing. Lots of fun stuff coming up on the show today. We're going to be talking about what's going on. Fewer hunters and anglers this last year. A lot of it's impacted by a lot of the COVID and things going on that originally were putting people out in the outdoors and some of the things that were detracting people. We're going to talk about biologists have discovered a rare mussel in the St. Croix. No, that wasn't me swimming. That was a joke, by the way. And we're going to be talking about Montana's ending the grizzly protections. That and more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Hey, Donald.
Good day.
How's it going?
It's going great.
Ava?
I'm here.
You know, when you're... I have to laugh, no matter what part of our northern tier this last... probably week and a half. I don't know about you guys, but did it seem like it's been a roller coaster that I've never experienced before in temperatures? And
well, I've experienced it before, but you know, it's I don't know. I really haven't even looked, but if the humidity is high in the air, the wind in the temperature gets extra cold for some reason. It's
unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, bone chilling. I mean, that comes to mind. So.
I would have to agree.
Accurate, yeah.
I would have to agree.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of fits in with one of the stories that I pulled, and I thought it was rather interesting. And the fact checker in this case was, do you lose half your body heat from your head? Is it true?
I mean, we've heard that over the years, that you lose a fair amount of your body heat through your head. So wear a stocking hat or something like that when you're outdoors.
So the claim is, number one, you lose half your body heat through your head, making it the most important part of your body to cover in frigid temperatures. The origin, early reference, came from the U.S. Army Field Manual in the 50s, which claims 40 to 45% of the body heat's lost through the head. Since then, this has been a favorite bit of wisdom Midwestern mothers and fathers repeat to their kids every winter.
It's probably where I got that information myself.
This theory was revisited in 2006, again in 2008. In 2006, study subjects were placed in cold water, sometimes with their heads above water, sometimes with their heads submerged. Scientists found that the head accounts for 7% of the heat loss.
Seven?
Seven, which accounts for the amount of skin that's showing. The 2008 study corroborated those findings, saying about 7 to 10% of your body heat is lost through the head. The reality is the amount of heat lost from a given part of your body is relative to how much skin is showing. If it were true that half your body heat exits through the head, that means you have to lose roughly 20 times as much heat per square inch as every other part of your body. If you don't have a hat on, you lose heat through your head just as you would lose heat through your legs if you're wearing shorts, which I've seen this year. There's really no such thing as cold when you're talking about the body. There's always heat. Just a matter of keeping it in. And the takeaway was the U.S. Army Field Manual got this one egregiously wrong, but not everything from the cold weather survival section is bunk. One thing they did get right is that fingers, toes, nose, ears, cheeks, and chin are the first places to get frostbites. So use your melon and prioritize covering those areas instead.
Well, I will say outside, you don't see many bald guys in the wintertime.
You mean you might not see their bald head?
Right.
Okay, just checking. Because I might see a bald guy, but I wouldn't know he's bald.
Well, guys that you know that are bald, you don't usually see them without a hat on.
That's very true.
See, actually, they in the military, they told you they always told you that your head was your chimney. That's where you were losing your heat, just like your roof and your house.
Just
put some insulation on top of it.
Well, that is true.
You'll feel better about it.
No, I wouldn't argue that fact.
Okay, good.
I try not to argue that fact.
It's cold out.
Well, and you know what else, which is kind of interesting now, too? Boat shows are coming up, which I find they're scattered. There are very few. The Minneapolis Boat Show, as of now, is still on. I know there's South Dakota. They're going to be having their boat show. There's one in Sioux Falls, and I believe there's another one coming up. We'll give you more details on across the Midwest boat shows and which ones are on and which ones are not. But keep in mind that they are going to be going on, so you can get a first-hand look at some of the boats if you so choose. If you've been looking online forever, and you certainly hope to make a jump to that first step, if boat ownership is your goal. I know you've we've talked when you're up at Ashkenam this last year, and people are looking to do some upgrading from their 17 to their 18 foot boats and their 18s mm-hmm. to their 19s or 20s. And if you're going to do it, get on the horn and start looking at things and get your money on a boat now. Then go to the show and see if it's what you're looking for. Then finalize the deal. It's so difficult right now, Don. I will tell you, it's not getting any better as far as availability in boats goes right now, and it's not going to.
So what are they saying the real issues are there? The supply chain.
It's multiple issues. Supply chain is a big one. Parts are delaying. It's also labor
to the manufacturer.
To the manufacturer, you could have a boat that's done, quote unquote, done, but it's still missing a shift and throttle cable. It could be missing a back deck piece or something that would be a secondary vendor, cleats, things like that that would not even phase you normally. Or if it's a specialty plastic piece or part that's manufactured for that particular boat, if it's not manufactured on site, then again, they have to rely on another party. If it's a trailer, that's a big one too. Trailers have been an issue. Trying to get wheel bearings, axles, and brakes, the combos, because they're relatively unique to that type of a configuration. And that's where things start to play. And it really gets to be, it's frustrating, I will say that.
Yeah, you know, as late this fall, I had to actually replace the axle on my boat trailer, and was very fortunate to, because I had broke a caliper off from my brake system, and I had to replace the whole axle. I was very fortunate to be able to find one for that.
Good luck with it. That's a needle in a haystack right there.
Yep.
Hi, I'm going to have this boat and trailer, and I need an axle for that. And somebody just happened to whip one right out of wherever they were at. That's rare.
Yep.
And just be aware, again, if you've got a boat now and you're looking to upgrade, or if you've got your boat and you want to put some extra stuff on it, do not wait for it. You're not going to find special deals this year, you guys. It's not going to be like it has been in the past. And it's going to be lasting for, as experts say right now, we're looking at 2 years at least of the same scenario going on. And it's not going to be an easy road, but understand it, knowing it going in, you're going to win the battle. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be great. Well, tell you what, you guys stay tuned. We're going to be coming back. We're going to talk a little bit about come some cool things about maybe some squirrel hunting. Maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Stay tuned. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. And, of course, we always like to check us out on Facebook and Donald.
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Make sure you put that T-H-E in there.
Yep. The Valley Outdoors.
You'll find
plural.
Some. Yep. Plural.
.com.
Yep. There's more than one.
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Yep.
Just keep saying it to yourself and dial it up.
As well as you can find us on a streaming.
Well, you can listen to any of our past programs
on
the website if you like.
Which is cool.
Plus, you can get in contact with a lot of manufacturers that we have relationships with.
Also, there's a lot of cool things coming up. I know we haven't alluded to anything. I'm not going to say anything until you give me the okie-dokie that I can. But we have got some big news coming, which is really kind of cool. So I know you were excited about it when we talked. So
absolutely.
Kind of fun. Since we are into the time frame. A lot of people decide they want to go squirrel hunting, some small game stuff. We figure we just give you some tips. Eight, to be exact.
Eight tips. For squirrel hunting.
Yep. Clay Newcomb happened to come out of this. And where's Clay Newcomb from, Ava?
I have no idea.
He provides a lot of input to what's your favorite show? Meat Eater.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
I was not following.
It's okay. You don't have to.
Do you follow this up with some squirrel recipes?
No. Remember, okay. If we do, we have to make sure that we load them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can.
Oh, we can tell about them. We don't have to load them.
I don't have any though.
Oh.
He dropped the ball on that one. Sometimes you know what, Don? Sometimes you just got to understand that I don't have that, and then just don't push it
until I actually
tell you that I'm going to fall on the sword, and then say, "Yep, I don't have anything, Don. Okay. I got nothing." You ready for the eight tips now that you destroyed
the whole thing?
Are you ready?
A pressure cooker works pretty well, I heard.
Great. Yeah. So does a crock pot.
Yeah, a crock
pot. Put the throw in the crock pot with mushroom soup and
bacon. Well, let's get to the
bacon.
Tips.
Bacon works for everything. All right. Now that we don't have a recipe and we just made one up. All right. So the eight tips. Number one, find the food, find the squirrels. Obviously, you can break out squirrel dogs. You can do that. Tree squirrels don't hibernate. They are active all winter. In order to survive colder temps, they hoard the food, burying it underground or storing it in the mid-camouflaged area ground cover. So that's going to be something to look for as well. While it's not necessarily necessary to find individual squirrel caches, they won't be far from their original food source. And you can use what you learned in the fall deer hunting pretty much easily, same type of thing. Know where the squirrels are going because they're going to be eating that same area. And course, the ones that you find that annoyed you in your deer stand, just might as well take time to take them out now.
You mean the ones that sound like a deer coming up behind you?
Ava, has that ever happened to you?
No.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to ask.
Squirrels are
a pretty amazing animal. They hide a lot of nuts and things like that. Find a walnut tree and there's squirrels around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? How do they know where all those nuts are? They got an amazing brain.
Yeah. Instinct. Gotta be
I didn't think you'd have an answer for that one either.
I don't want to make one up either.
Okay.
Glassing for tails. Start with the trunk, then follow the main branches of the tree up. You're not looking for the whole squirrel because you're just not going to see him. What you're looking for is that long tail that blows in the wind and gives them away. You said you should glass at the straight lines of the tree and look for the bumps. That could be head, ear, or tail. If they're hiding from you, they're going to be pretty close to the trunk or on a big limb or right in the fork where those two meet. They are very aware of their silhouettes, and if they won't be out much more on a 2-inch limb to expose themselves. Yes, Don, you were going to say something?
I look out my back window, and it's like a circus.
Right about the time until you start blasting them.
I wouldn't need to.
Then they're all like running for the hills. They know, Don, you're not going to pull a gun out and shoot at them.
Well, probably not.
No. If you spot a squirrel, get there quickly. There is a time stamp on a tree because the squirrel is extremely mobile in the tree canopy. So when you hear those dogs are treeing, if you want to use a dog, you need to get there as soon as you can. By the time you get to a tree dog, 50% of the time the squirrel is going to be running and 50% they're going to be holed up. So understand what's going on. Number three, get them moving. Oftentimes you find a squirrel in a hole and it's hard to get them out. The biggest trick to get squirrels to move is to shake vines and limbs or just smack the tree with a stick. That's caveman. That works. I don't know, but it works. A lot of times squirrels are going to be in a tree with vines. They like the cover. Obviously, animals like cover. It protects, and especially in the late winter. And when you start banging the vines around, you can really get those squirrels moving. Never shoot a squirrel on the ground. Obviously, you don't want to shoot the dog in the excitement of the moment. That holds true with just
no ground
anything.
Pounding.
No ground pounding. And hunt with buddies and try different firearms. If you're by yourself, you really can't see the backside of the tree. Someone else that's with you certainly can. So circle around the tree and the moves. If you can get the spread out and get around the sides of the tree, you're going to likely get them. And also, they recommend using a Judge 45 Colt 410. So it's a split rifle shotgun deal. That works pretty good.
Yep.
And that's a pretty neat way to go. And
I was gonna say, what's the firearm of choice?
The 22 with the shotgun.
And like a 410, small gauge?
Exactly, exactly.
28 gauge?
Yep. And coming up to the last two, black them out. Squirrels are pretty much a small target. Good marksmanship plays a key role in successful hunt. If you're shooting with a 22, you're going to be aiming at the head. If you're firing a shotgun, more likely to blast at a squirrel. Lead it like you would a duck. My grandpa always said, black them out. Swing your gun until you can't see him anymore, then pull the trigger. For new hunters, Clay's recommendation is just to get out hunting. I don't know if there's anything that can prepare you for shooting a squirrel any better than just going out and trying. And hoot, holler, and have a good time. I'm a grown man, as he says. It blows my mind how fast my heart beats when I walk up a tree and see a squirrel breaking away. You've got pretty much one shot at it in the timber. It's jumping and moving, and you just feel like you've come unglued inside. Take your shot, and then you're like, man, it's just a squirrel. Why did it get so worked up? Yeah, that's why we do it. It's chaos. It's great. It's
and you know, you can make a buck doing it. You know, you can send your tails in.
Yeah. That works. Fly fishing places and
MEPS lures.
Yep, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Well, tell you what, stay tuned. We got some more stuff coming up. And in this particular case, what search and rescue wants you to do when you're in dire straits. Hang tight. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Squirrels, Don. Squirrels.
Kind of cute, you know. Like you say, I look out my back window. It's like a circus. They're running all over the trees. There's now, probably a dozen of them back there.
Now, gray squirrels, I have no problem with. When it comes to the red
little
squirrels,
red ones, game
over.
They're not your friend.
Game
they?
Over.
You don't call them friend?
No, they must
go.
Go.
They're so cute, though.
Stop.
They are cute.
Right up to the point where they damage your vehicle to the tune of about $5,000 worth on two occasions, you have a little bit of a problem with.
He's got animosity against the little red squirrels.
I get a twitch when I get in that area. The right eye goes.
You haven't ever disposed of one, have you?
I cannot confirm nor deny that had happened.
I had a little one sitting on our deck, and I had an old bag of raisins that I opened up. I set it out there, and they were old raisins, fermented a little bit, and he enjoyed the heck out of them.
I bet he fell off the rail.
Well, I never saw him fall off, but he came back every day.
As soon as he falls off the rail,
looking
it's time
for
to take,
more raisins.
He was looking for. He cleaned them up. Every darn one of them.
And that squirrel slowed down tremendously after that.
He got bigger.
He got large.
Yep.
Squirrel at large. Red squirrel. Makes it easier to hit him.
Yep.
I remember that, Don. I tried the bucket and the can thing with the peanut butter on it and the water.
For the squirrels?
Yeah.
They're smarter than that.
The red squirrel. Oh, no, they're not.
Aren't they?
No. I'm not going to say what happened, but
no.
I need more.
Tragic.
I need more. So, since squirrels would be lost, maybe one or two at that point, the topic fits perfectly. Here's what search and rescue wants you to do when you become lost. And this is from they call it SAR, search and rescue team. They're on call 24 hours a day to help hunters and hikers and other outdoor explorers get out of tight spots. Many SAR missions could be avoided or made easier with a little preparation by those who might be in need of rescuing. In that spirit, Sydney Lear, who's an SAR instructor with the Blue Ridge Mountain Search and Rescue Group, talked to these people, this group, and said what we could do to help avoid a rescue or at least make it easier should we need to get one. Are you ready, Don?
I'm ready.
Now, we did this before, and the thing you don't want to do, apparently, is change your cell to say, I'm lost. You're not supposed to do that. That's one thing. So I can say that up front. We edumacated ourselves on that. Number one, get trained up on basic land navigation first aid. Give yourself the tools to be self-reliant and an asset to others. And this is a great place to start. There's a lot of articles and a lot of places, outdoor publications. but most take practice to master. Are you a serious outdoors person who should understand how to navigate with a proper map and compass? Absolutely, that's a big thing. Navigation courses are available from REI Co-op and other organizations with both online and in-person offerings. And I will say the in-person is much better. It gives you an understanding of what problems can occur from the experts. You can get first aid courses online through the American Red Cross. I've gone through many of those myself. The Wilderness First Aid Training with NOLS, National, I don't know what that stands for. Huh, I'll have to look that up. And a number of other groups, but NOLS is an outdoor group. And such training, great training, is part of becoming an SAR team member. Get the right gear and learn to use it. If you don't need to spend all of your pennies on a fancy gear, but you don't want to get gear that performs. Most importantly, you need to know how to use the gear you have. Practice with it, then practice some more. And if and when you need it, your gear, knowledge, and muscle memory will overcome a cocktail of adrenaline, fatigue, fear, and foggy mind. Have you ever got in the woods and got turned around?
Yes.
It's a spooky deal.
That happened to me when I was in Idaho. I had not a clue where I was.
No. Great.
I was in Grand Rapids. Panic. As about 14, I was on a drive, and I was in the middle of a tamarack swamp, and I thought I was going straight. And suddenly, I'm not coming out of the tamarack swamp. It's continuing on and on and on. And, yeah, so I figured out a way to do it. I won't go into that, but figure out a way to get out of it. But, again, super important. So important here, have a good topo map and the best compass you can find. But if you don't know how to use either of them, they're just fire starters.
Right?
It's whatever it is. You can have a great topo map and a best compass. You got to be in the market for every one of them, but also how to use them. That's the biggest thing. So a few resources that are out there. There's a lot of backpacks. Meat Eater website, you can find it on there. And they have all the key points, whether you're looking for a fire starter, special clothes, boots, knives, any of those things. Make and share an outing plan. Make sure someone knows where you are. Send them a map and show them where you'll be, what your plan is, and definitely agree on a time out when you're coming out of the woods or the wherever you're at, and stick to that plan. Float plans are a commonplace among paddlers, and such documents of value big time for any type of an outing. Include your vehicle information, when and where you're going and with whom, where you'll park, what your route is, and when you'll be back. Who to contact also if the folks don't hear from you, and other relevant details. And you can get that also from the U.S. Coast Guard. That's kind of cool. Cover the 10 essentials. Most any outing can go wrong. You'll need to be able to address the 10 essentials. Number one, shelter, fire, first aid, food, hydration, insulation with appropriate clothing, flashlight, headlamp, and backup batteries, navigation, hard copy map and compass, because digital, if you lose power, will not work, a knife, and a repair kit and sun protection. Put a signaling device such as a whistle in that backpack and consider a very strong argument for including a GPS and personal locator beacon or satellite phone. They're expensive, but they are cheaper than the cost of a long search and rescue mission. There's no question about that. You can get all these things when you look online. Again, Meat Eater has this and other elements to go
you know,
at it.
I think you're making reference primarily to guys that are out in the woods or on land.
Yeah.
I can tell you that if I took you to the into my boat right now, I have the same. I have everything you just listed in there mm-hmm. in my boat in a plastic container. And the reason I do that is because, as you know, I like to go to Canada a lot and into the wilderness. We'll go up 1,200 miles from here and go out 25 miles, and there's always that chance that your motor could clunk out or something like that. And if you get stranded out there, you're in just as bad a shape if you're not prepared on water as you are on land. So I keep all of that in my boat.
It's a big thing.
Yep.
It is, no question. Sort any apps and phone hacks, even the first-rate navigator with a printed map and compass. It'd be silly to ignore any available resources. So if you have electronics, be ready to use them. Pick the apps you want and download them with the Wi-Fi before you need them. start out on the right foot. So you orient yourself, get ready to step up to the woods. Know waterways, roads, ridges, railroad tracks, and other elements. Know yourself and be honest. There's quite a denial when you first get lost. Absolutely. There is a big denial. So many people just keep wandering, and by the time they admit they're lost, they dug themselves deeper in a hole, and people with a lot of experience in the woods can sometimes be more susceptible to that, which is the craziest part. Be an advocate for your rescue. Put your 10 essentials to work for you. Settle in, stay calm, get comfortable. Treat injuries if you have them, and it's likely going to be a long wait. If you have cell service, call for help and or send a text. Activate your spot beacon and make satellite phone call if you have it. And last but not least, help yourself get out of the woods. Once the team finds you, be a proactive subject. Tell them all the circumstances that led to the situation. For their safety and yours, be honest on how you're feeling. If you're injured, it will take a long, it'll be a long process to get you out, but the injury will determine the treatment and how to best affect a resolution to that. And finally, please look at joining your local team of professionally trained SAR volunteers, and SAR teams and hunters need each other. So kind of a cool story. I saw that, and you know, it applies every time of year. There's no off season on that.
Yeah. Every year you hear somebody getting stranded out in the, on a hunt or something like that.
Yeah. And it's not a pleasant thing to get stranded.
Nope.
So don't be lost. And the other way not to be lost is to listen to us every week. That's, we provide guidance.
Okay.
We're sticking with that story. Well, for Don, after that comment, Eric and Ava, we are the Valley Outdoors, and we are out of here. Thanks for joining us. Join us next week. It'll be awesome. See ya.